a wonderful day the Lord has given to us to worship Him, to glorify His wonderful name. If you have your Bibles this morning in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to back up to verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, that is, swear falsely, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd be with us this morning, the remainder of this service. Speak to hearts through your word. Help us this morning, Lord, to obtain something from God that'll go with us when we leave this place. Lord, strengthen and fortify us in the inner man, and may the truth of your word feed our souls this morning, Lord, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach to you this morning on a man's word is his bond.
A man's word is his bond. And I think that really
that is the thrust of this passage that I have read to you this morning, is the Lord is teaching us that this should be the condition in the ranks of his people, that a man's word is his bond. This passage is set in the Sermon on the Mount, which fills up three chapters of the book of Matthew, 5, 6, and 7. And in this Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is teaching his disciples concerning what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And he sets forth before all men two ways, a broad road, a narrow road. And what he's doing in this Sermon on the Mount is he's describing the narrow road. This is the narrow road that leads to life everlasting. The teachings that Christ has given to us in the Sermon on the Mount is the narrow road. Now in life we choose whether to walk the broad road or the narrow road. Jesus said if you're going to walk the narrow road, this is a description of what it means to walk the narrow road that leads to everlasting life. And in that life, on the narrow road, a man's word is his bond. And you will notice that this particular passage concerning the man's word being his bond is next to a discussion on divorce. You know, the scriptures are ordained by God, and they are, every word is inspired by God, and God made the order of the scriptures for us. And I don't have any doubt that was planned by God. Because this is a very important application of this truth, that a man's word is his bond. So that when a man makes a commitment to a woman makes a commitment to a man, that they'll be faithful till death do us part, sickness and in health, for better, for worse, so forth and so on. That God intended for that man and for that woman to stick to that word of covenant, promise, and that they have made to each other until death do us part.
A man's word is his bond. Now, in this day that Jesus is talking, that he's preaching, in this day, in his culture, there was a practice of swearing among the religious people in which a person could evade the truth by swearing just the right way. So the Pharisees said that in order for a man's word to be really taken seriously, he must include the name of God in the oath that covers his statement. If he doesn't include the name of God, let's suppose he swears by the temple, or he swears by the altar, or he swears by something other than God himself, then he's not bound by any oath that he makes unless God's name is involved in it. So that an oath became a cover for a lie. A man could swear, use an oath, and an oath was meant to certify the truthfulness of a statement. But if he used an oath and he did not include the name of God, that oath merely became a covering for a lie. Now they said if he used the name of God, he had to stand true to what he said. But Jesus put all of that aside and said, don't swear at all, because a man's word should be his bond. Shouldn't be, as he said later on, let your conversation be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever more of these is from the evil one. So that a man should speak what he means, say what he means, and stand by it. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us, that a man's word should be his bond. Because all promises are sacred. And every one of them is made in the presence of God, whether it's spoken with an oath that invokes the name of God or not. And in the Old Testament, when the Lord said in the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, he was indicating that those people who use his name to certify the truthfulness of a statement must stand by that statement or dishonor the name of God. But in the New Testament, Jesus is telling us that we don't have to use an oath, that we are to speak the truth, and people are to be able to believe what we say merely because we are followers of Jesus Christ. And that makes the difference in our statements, in our word, is we are followers of Jesus Christ. I tell you, brother and sister, this particular teaching of Christ is very relevant in the day and hour that we live in. For we live in a day when truth has fallen in the streets, and no longer are people conscientious about their promises, about what they say. We can see it in the divorce courts. We can see it in the political realm. We see it in almost every realm of our society, that truth no longer matters, that it is truth is a victim to politics, truth is a victim to people's selfish desires, and truth has fallen in the streets. Our politicians have destroyed the people's confidence in our government. I read about Richard Nixon making a speech before the White House correspondents back when he was president. And in his speech, he paid tribute to a man by the name of David Lawrence, who was a founder of U.S. News. And he quoted David Lawrence as saying, there is only one more difficult task than being president of this country while we are waging war. And that is to be president of this country when we are waging peace. After he got through with his speech, he asked his assistant Haldeman, what do you think of that quote? He said it was very appropriate. Nixon said, I made it up. And we know how that our presidents have over many times fooled the American people, spoken things that were not true. And we remember President Clinton coming before our nation and denying that he ever had anything to do with this woman, Lewinsky. And then later on, accepting the fact that he had had a relationship with this woman. And these kind of things have destroyed confidence in our politicians and in our government, because our politicians are not consistently speaking the truth. And because of that, there's a mistrust between the people and their government. But it isn't just in government. It's in businesses. We all know about the Enron scandals. We know about all of the companies that have cooked the books. Their executives are now on trial. Some of them are in prison because they have been altering the figures in order to make it look like that they're making a profit so that people will invest in their company and make their stocks look better on the stock market. And they've been fooling people and lying to people and deliberately, consistently perpetrating a hoax upon the American people. And now then, we are seeing it in the news. There is a special interest groups in this country who are constantly exaggerating statistics in order to push their agenda in this country. Some years ago, it came out that there was 10% of the American population was homosexuals. That was an exaggerated figure in order to make the American public think that homosexuality was much more prevalent than it really was. And when surveys were done, it was found out that there was much fewer homosexuals in this country than that. But this lie was hoisted upon the American public in order to give clout to the homosexual agenda in politics in this country. There are people in the ranks of the feminist who take numbers like the number of women that died in homemade abortions before Roe versus Wade. And they cook these figures and they make them larger than they really are in order to make people think that Roe versus Wade was a salvation for women instead of a curse upon our land. They take figures and they exaggerate them, and instead of telling the truth, they consciously tell lies in order to push their agenda. Now, I want you to understand something. It's not just in politics. It's not just in special interest groups, but religious leaders do it as well. One man who's a debunker of hoaxes, and this television faith preacher by the name of Peter Popoff, he had this program on television. He was calling people out, telling them what was wrong with them, healing them, whatever. And so this guy had a man to go to the service. He had a tape recorder, and he had a scanner that picked up radio signals. And this guy had a hearing aid in his ear. It was really a radio receiver. And out in the audience, his wife had a device that she could talk to him through that device in his ear. And, of course, the scanner picked it up, and he heard the wife of the preacher saying to him, "Petey, can you hear me?" And then she would read to him statistics off of cards signed by visitors, and he would take those statistics and he would point somebody out in the service and tell them what was wrong with them, which they had written on that card, and the wife had passed along to the preacher with a radio receiver in his ear. They recorded it, had it on tape, this man's wife giving him the information, and him saying, "The Holy Ghost showed me and told me such and such about you." Well, so you see that deception and lying is also in the religious realm as well. That's the reason why that all of God's children need to have a measure of discernment in them so that they can discern what's of God and what's not of God. Everybody needs to be able to discern the spirits. Now listen, how do you do that? You say, "Well, I feel such and such." Hey, listen, that's not always reliable, how you feel about something. But you need to know the Word of God. What is the Word of God that really exposes whether man is true or not? And the Bible tells us that there would be people who would come to us. They would be wolves in sheep's clothing. He said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." He didn't say you'd know how you feel. He didn't say you'd know according to what they're saying. He said you would know them by their fruits. And are they living a life that demonstrates the grace of God in their hearts, you see? You shall know them by their fruits. We are living in a day when people are piling up debt. Young people who get married oftentimes feel like that they have to have exactly what mom and daddy's got, and got to have it now. And so what it took 40 years for mom and dad to accumulate, son and daughter's going to have it right now, and they're going to go into debt to get it head over heels, and they're going to start out where they left off in mom and dad's house. And so credit cards are flowing freely. I'm telling you, if I took every credit card that come to my house and used every credit card that come to my house, I'd be in deep, deep troubles this morning. Deep trouble. It's so readily available to anybody and everybody that wants to use it. It's out there for you. And people are making commitments. And you know, they say, you use this credit card, you're making an agreement, you'll pay me such and such on a certain time of the month. And when you use that card, you're making an agreement. I'm going to make a payment to these people, pay them so much interest, do so and so and so. The agreement is made when you use that card. And people are making agreements, giving their word. I'm going to make this payment. I'm using your money and I'm going to pay you back at a certain time. And they ain't doing it. And bankruptcy is a scourge in this country. And I want to tell you something. Y'all ain't shouting. Why ain't y'all shouting this morning? I want to tell you something. Bankruptcy, if you take bankruptcy and you say, "Look, I can't pay my bills, so I'm going to take bankruptcy, and so I won't have to pay my bills." You understand that when you gave your word, it don't matter whether you go to bankruptcy court or what you do, in God's eyes, you still owe that money. You say, "I'll never be able to pay that money." Well, you work on it as long as you live, trying to pay that money back, because you want God to understand you are a man of your word, and you're going to do your best to present an honest appearance before the world because you are representing God. Amen. There's been credit cards and bank credit that has ruined many a testimony. And God wants us to understand that it's important for us as the people of God that when we give our word, we keep our word. Oh, yeah. You know, back years ago, some of the old preachers, if somebody said, "I'm called to preach and I'm going to preach," before they'd ordain him, they'd go check and see whether or not he paid his bills. If he didn't pay his bills, he didn't get ordained. I'm telling you, that was the way they used to do it. It's the way we ought to still do it. Because it's important that a man have a good report of them that are without them. How can he preach the gospel to a world that's lost and dying and cheat them at the same time? Can't do it. So, you know, I don't care if you go check me out. I really don't. If somebody said, "Preacher, I want you to come preach, but before you come preach, I'm going to check your record," I'd say, "Go right ahead. You don't want to offend me. You go right ahead and check my record. And ask anybody you want to. Go to the community. Anybody I've done business with, go on, ask them." And that's the way it ought to be in our lives. Because Jesus said, if you are my people and followers of Jesus Christ, then you are to be a man of your word. And so, this business of debt. Oh, brother, God help us as a people of God to gain what Paul had and be content with such things as we had. For many people are so covetous, they get in debt so heavy, they cannot serve God. They're bound by that. They are servants of that. And they have to work two and three jobs. Always busy. Never any time for God, because they've overcommitted themselves and left God out of their life. Listen, brother. God wants us to be men and women that make commitments and stand by it. We are to be the people of God. And if we're overcommitted, listen, if we're overcommitted, if I really cannot serve God and pay for my house, if I really cannot serve God and pay for my car, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell that house and sell that car, and I'm going to get me something that I can pay for and still serve God. I'm getting a few amens. Oh, yeah. If I've got food, and I've got raiment, and I've got a roof over my head, what does it matter whether or not I live in a $500,000 mansion? Hey, I just went to the house of a man, went out in his barn, and blowed himself into eternity. And this man's place sold after he did that. His place sold for nearly $500,000. He wasn't happy because of what he had. I'm telling you, brother, you can live in a shack and eat poorly. But if you've got Jesus, you've got treasure. You can be happy in Jesus if you've got the Son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Jesus said, I want you to be people of your word. Now, you know, there is a difference between a man making a commitment he knows he cannot make, keep, and a person making a statement and through infirmity of the flesh, forgetting what they said. We all have infirmities of the flesh, I reckon, far as I know. And it was said... It was said by Jesus, by Paul, of the writer in Hebrews, that the Lord, He feels for our infirmities. Is that right? He feels for our infirmities. And that is the weakness of our flesh. Jesus knows about that, and He feels for that. And there are times that we may make statements and not carry it through because we forget about it. And, y'all, I know that's true in my life. And or perhaps later on we find out we can't do it, and we've said something that we cannot carry out, and there are times in our lives through infirmity we find ourselves saying things that we cannot carry through, and we have to go back and say, "Look, I'm sorry, I can't do this." And it's that way. If a man's overcommitted. He's loathed too much money. He's overcommitted himself. And he realizes, hey, I cannot fulfill what I promised to fulfill. All right, the thing he's got to do is not hide from those people he's committed to, but go to those people and say, look, I'm sorry. I've overcommitted myself. I'm not able right now to pay you what I've said I'll pay you. But by the help of God, I will pay you back. I will get things in order, and you will get what I said I'd give to you. And so, while you've got it straightened out with that man, you're not running from him, you're telling him, look, I've made a mistake here, I'm going to clear that mistake up, I'm going to sell what I've got to sell, get rid of what I've got to get rid of, I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep my name honest before men and God. And brother, I'm telling you, you'll be surprised how many people understand that. And God knows that we are human beings. And there are times we make statements that we don't intentionally make those statements in order to deceive someone. And we have to go back and straighten it out. And God understands that. But God don't want us running from those people we've made commitments to, and we're not keeping those commitments because of infirmity of the flesh. He don't want us running from those people and hiding from those people. He wants us to face those people and let them know, look, I'm sorry. I overcommitted myself But by the help of God, I will fulfill my commitment to you. Now you know that a person who deliberately lies, that lie is coming from one source. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. And anybody that lies, deliberately lies, they have one father, one source, and one destiny. The Bible tells us that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. He didn't say white liars. He didn't say what kind of liars they were. He said all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. So we know that deliberate lying comes from the devil, and we understand what's going to happen to those people who deliberately lie. On the other hand, God has made provision for liars to be made honest people. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad this morning that God can change your nature and take a lying person. And listen, is there anybody in this place that never told a lie? You know, I couldn't raise my hand on that. I was lying when I was a tot. I mean, just a little child. I was lying. The Bible says the wicked go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. My mom would come in my room when I was just 4 or 5 years old and ask me, have you brushed your teeth? And I hated to brush my teeth. And I would say, yes, I brushed my teeth. And I hadn't brushed my teeth. And I knew I hadn't brushed my teeth. And I deliberately lied to my mom and dad. I remember that. And I was just a little child. The wicked, it's in their heart. It's born in us that we lie. We tell things that are not so. And as long as we belong to the devil and our natures never change, we'll always look at a lie like that little boy said when somebody asked him what's the definition of lie. He said, it's a friend in time of need. And we'll always be looking at a lie like that until we get a change of heart. And God changes our nature, and we understand how insidious and how wicked and how destructive lying is. Did you know you can only build a society on trust? A good society on trust. You can only build a good home on trust. And whenever there's a spirit of lying in a person, you can't trust that person. I'm telling you, brother, it wrecks relationships. It wrecks them. When you cannot trust them to tell the truth. And I want to give you a little warning. I want you to understand something. Lying starts off sometimes just, a friend in time of need. But when it's constantly used and consistently used, I have seen people believe their own lies and get to the place where you just about had to check everything they said. You couldn't believe hardly anything they said. If they said that wall was white, you better check it out. That's right. And you can deceive yourself. And the Bible warns us about that. You can deceive yourself. You can become a liar that believes your own lies. God said that lying is evil, it's wicked, it's destructive. And He wants to change our nature so that we want to tell the truth. By God's grace, we'll tell the truth. Whatever it costs us, we'll tell the truth. And here's how it happened. He said in Ephesians 5, He said, put off that old man and put on the new man. Put off that old man with his deeds. And here's one of the things that an old man does. He lies. So he says, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So that every child of God is to be a person known by the truthfulness of what they say. You can depend upon them. You can depend on their word. If they speak to you, they're not going to deliberately lie to you. They are going to speak to you what they believe to be the truth. Now, since that is so, I'm telling you, that's the kind of person you want looking after your soul. That's the kind of person you want speaking to you about salvation and matters of eternity. It's somebody you know has been changed on the inside to tell the truth. A false witness, the Bible says, destroys souls. But the man that speaketh the truth, he delivereth souls. And when God delivers us from that lying spirit, from that nature of the devil, and gives us a new nature, and causes us to want to tell the truth, you can build relationships on truth. Hallelujah. And the final thing I want to tell you is this. I want you to understand this about Jesus. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There are some of you that are shaken this morning. I mean in this service. Some of you are shaken by the events of life, the difficulties of life. You've been worn down by circumstances in your life to where your faith is at a low ebb. Your trust in God is at a low ebb. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you can trust in God. I say you can trust in God. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. And God cannot lie. I'm telling you what He said in His Word. You can count on it. You can depend on it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. You can count on Jesus. And it is the devil's business to try to get you to doubt the promises of God to you, to wear you down over time, to where you wonder, does God really mean what He said? Will God really come through with what He said? Will God really keep His promises to me? But I'm telling you that God is truth and He cannot lie. And what you find in that Scripture, the Word of God to you and the promises of God to you, you can count on those promises. God will keep His promises to you. And don't ever throw away your confidence in God. It hath great recompense of reward, the Bible says. Hold on to your faith in Him. The reason that we can have faith in God is because we know that God is faithful. God is faithful. And regardless of what life brings to us, and what it seems like to us, no matter how we're worn down by the circumstances of life, God's Word is true. His promises are true. You can count on God. So the Lord that told us, your Word is to be your bond, He Himself is a covenant-keeping God. Follow my example, He says. What He says, you can depend on it. You can trust Him. You don't have to doubt Him. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You thanking You for Your Word. We want to be people that mean what we say, stand by what we say. We want to be people that others can trust us, Lord. We realize that we are all people of infirmity, and we know that there are times that we may speak and not be able to keep that which we have spoken because of infirmity of the flesh. Don't let us run from it or dodge it. Help us to confess it. Lord Jesus, confront those that we have wronged perhaps through that and get it straight. Lord Jesus, I pray that You'd help us to be very careful, for we are to speak words of truth. We're to speak words that others can believe. We're to speak words that we can follow through on. And I pray that You would help us, Lord. I ask You, dear God, to give to us a spirit of truth. I know there is such a thing as a spirit of lying. I've seen it take hold in lives. Lord, don't let that take hold in our lives. Help us to have a spirit of truth about us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You'd help us to deal truthfully in our homes. Help us to deal truthfully in our churches, on our jobs, in our business dealings. Help us to deal truthfully for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that in this congregation, You administer the hearts and souls in this building right now who are worn down by circumstances of life, until their faith in God is weak and they're in despair over certain circumstances in their life. Help them to realize, Lord, that Your promises are right and true, and they never, never fail. Thank God. And I pray that You'd help us to hold on to the promises of God and believe God, to see the hand of the Lord. You told us in Your Word to cast not away our confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And there are people depending upon us, continuing to believe and to pray and to seek God and beseech heaven for help. And we're praying, Lord, that You'd help us not to be discouraged because of the difficulties that we're facing. We want to be among those that when Jesus comes, He finds faith in us, that we're still praying and not fainting. We're still calling on God and confident that God still hears and answers the prayers of His children. Lord God, I pray this morning that You'd bless this congregation, meet the needs that are here, and we'll give You glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before you leave, tonight we'll be having new service.